Living as a one body of Christ is a theme I'm working on, but right away I'm going to start talking a little more about the experience yesterday that I had at Homeland First Church, at Community First Church of God in Homeland. With Bobby, we attended that dedication, the new worship facility. Pastor Mike Gratzky and his wife Kim have served the church there for more than 10 years, I think. And, you know, I've worshiped with them. I've shared stories of God's grace. I've spent some time doing workshops there. Many of the people in the congregation I've known for a long time. You see, on April 30th, 2016, the night before Easter Sunday, an arsonist set alight the church sanctuary. The small Sunday school wing and the offices that were in a separate modular building escaped the flames. As the fire department came out, and people of that community also came out to grieve that loss with that congregation. Can you imagine what it would have felt like for you if you came to worship on an Easter Sunday and find that there's almost nothing left but a pile of ashes in a church that you've poured your life into over years or decades? That first Easter Sunday without their building, this church that was founded in Homeland 65 years before, was invited by their neighbor church across the street to come in and do their worship, to worship with them, but also to share their needs. And then, only 1 week later, they began their worship again in a large tent that was erected there on their own site. A fire is not going to stop the church. 1 week after the fire, two things were consecrated or set apart to the Lord for their worship. Two things were already set apart for the Lord. Two things were already consecrated. And I'm reminded of what we have here. The first was their wooden cross, not so much different than what we have here. Their wooden cross was blackened by that fire, but not destroyed. Their pulpit Bible, which we have one here today as well, was singed. The outside was charred. All the pages were singed, but the Bible was preserved. Not a single word was burnt. Only the edges. That's ink on paper. That is not what we worship, but that's a sign that God preserves. God preserves. God holds things together. The cross and the Bible are on display in the entryway in Community First Church of God in Homeland. And of those who attended, Pastor Bob Bixler, who is Patty's dad, Pastor Cassandra Garrett, who often fills in here for us when I'm not able to preach, and Pastor David Wynn, who is our regional pastor and executive of the Church of God in Southern California, all represented part of the wider body of the Church of God. But there were more pastors and leaders there from the larger community, Pentecostals and Baptists and independent churches, Messianic Jewish Christian rabbis and community sponsors. There were some homeless and some helpless, but none who were hopeless. You hear that? Some homeless, some helpless, none who were hopeless. For the Community Church, First Church of God in Homeland has proved to that community that God loves them through the church. And it was a marvelous time to worship together, to hear the testimony of God's grace, to know that God's still at work there through the local body of Christ. And one of the most precious stories that was there comes from the very night the church was still burning. A mother and a son, young man, grade school or younger, I forgot the age, whether it was 7 or 8, 5 years old. Okay, thank you, Bobby. 5 years old. This young boy was standing there with his mom. They were watching the fire and they were grieving. They were sharing tears. And she had never been in the church, nor had he. But the little boy said something to mom, and she nodded. He reached into his pocket and pulled out a few coins and gave them to Pastor Gratzky right then and there and said, "This is so you can start rebuilding the church." 39 cents, a quarter, a dime, and 4 pennies. The Pastor Mike said has multiplied to more than $1 million, so we have finished this without a mortgage. Wonderful, the work of God. Through the smallest seeds that we might plant as he plants it through us. You can see that same quarter and dime and 4 pennies in a little piece of acrylic that's there as a memorial to God using little things to do big things. And God uses little things in us to do big things. There have been many struggles and unscrupulous contractors who cheated the church. There were continued challenges with zoning and building and design and parking and on and on. But today, the church stands again dedicated to the ministry of the champion of love, as they call Christ in their church. The champion of love, Jesus Christ. Well, I have a strange connection to that time of the virus and fire in Homeland, because it was 3.5 weeks after that fire burnt down that sanctuary in Homeland that, standing right here on this stage, I came face to face with someone that was not a regular member of the church, let's say. In fact, I was standing on this very stage confronting evil in the form of a man whose life was so taken over by his methamphetamine addictions that the only active spirit within him was demonic. And I saw that in the eyes, face to face. And suddenly I was hit like an asp would strike. It was so fast I did not see it coming, and my face was broken, and I was knocked out, and there's still a blood stain over here on the carpet. We haven't replaced it. That was 3.5 weeks after that fire burn. So that rebuilding of the church and kind of the rebuilding of things that were broken in me have gone along a similar path. And the same kind of thing. How long was I taken out of commission? Well, the devil probably wanted to take me clear out of commission. I might have retired early. I was almost 64 years old. I might have retired then instead of continue to preach. I missed, in that first season, a total of 8 weeks as people filled in. And on July 24th, I was injured on May 24th. On July 24th, I preached again here. And I'm so grateful to others that keep things going and hold me up and give me opportunity to heal with part-time work sometimes. But you know what? Satan doesn't get to decide the schedule. Satan doesn't get to decide who's in charge of my safety. God is in charge of his church. And that's always good news. Now, as we move into really the heart of the message today, I needed to share something about how the body of Christ is active, how the body of Christ is working together, how the body of Christ isn't just us. The body of Christ moves through the church in so many ways. Now, this just proves that God's gifts are good for all. It proves that God's grace is here for all. There have been blips, there have been blunders, there have been missed opportunities, and certainly, and likely many of them my fault, but God is faithful. We serve God's church, the body of Christ in this place. God has made his called ministers to be an important part of this body. And today, I want to share about the body of Christ as it's described in 1 Corinthians 12. So much here that informs us of our importance to each other and what the purpose of the body of Christ is. The first 11 verses are about the way God distributes the spirit gifts within the church, and I'm not going to spend any time describing those spiritual gifts themselves, because I want to be focused on the body of Christ and how it's supposed to work by God's good design. The spiritual gifts that Paul talks about are descriptive of the way that God gives the whole collection of the saved and every local congregation of the church what is needed for its success when we seek the Lord and find his purposes. The different kinds of gifts are briefly described in those first chapters, or first verses of 1 Corinthians 12. But the key verse in this 1 paragraph is verse 7. As we find out, God's gifts are good for all. Verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12 says, a manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. Now, that word manifestation is one we use all the time, right? I know. In fact, some of you used it this morning at breakfast, right? Oh, you didn't? Getting ready for church, you used it, right? No? You don't use the word manifestation that much? Well, I'll tell you what, it's not that different from another word that you have used often during the last couple of years, and that word is symptom or sign. For the manifestation of the Spirit shows forth in the Spirit, God's Spirit at work in His people for His purposes. It's a symptom. A spiritual gift is a symptom of the Spirit's infusing the life of a believer. So we know about symptoms when it has to do with things like COVID or pneumonia. We don't think about it as something that has to do with spiritual gifts. If you have a problem with taking tests, breaking out in a sweat on test day could be a manifestation of your fear of tests. So the manifestation of the Spirit would be something that we see at work, a skill or an evidence of the Spirit. And it's important that we realize that God gives every gift necessary for the church, and He gives each person that gift for the common good. Nobody has a spiritual gift for their own use or for their own aggrandizement. There's another big word for you. It just came into my head. So not to build ourselves up, but in order to build the church up. Every Christian given something from the Spirit's presence, even if you don't recognize what it is that God's given you. And the most important part is at the very end of the verse, for the good of all, as I said. Every Christian is useful to every other Christian if they are applying the gifts of God for the good of everyone, or we can say for the good of the church. That's an important thing to remember. When God is the one who is at work in the church, it's for the good of the church, the body of Christ. And this is the God, the Spirit, that forms us all. Andrea, I may have a slide change problem. I'll try to restart it there. I should be on this slide that says the Spirit forms us into one. Thank you. And maybe my tablet will catch up again. All right. The Spirit forms us into one. 1 Corinthians 12:12. It is the Spirit that does this. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For just as the body is one and has many parts, all that parts of that body through many are one body, so also is Christ. So the body is one and has many parts. All the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. The Spirit is building the many into one, the different into same. Not to be identical, because my big toe looks nothing like my tongue. My ear looks nothing like my kneecap. Do I need them both? Well, I think I do. My knee certainly thinks I need my kneecap. My hearing certainly thinks I need my ear. My big toe seems to think I need my tongue, and my tongue knows that that big toe is going to be problems if it's acting up. The body of Christ is formed by the Spirit of Christ, taking all the different parts and making us into one, and that means we become one complete body. One complete body by the gift and the power and the purpose of Christ. And the Scripture says in verse 13, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Indeed, the body is not one part, but many. I love this illustration that Paul uses to describe his church. Because if we look around, we have different backgrounds. We came from different bloodlines. We came from different countries. We have histories that are separate from one another, but we have a present that is tied together by the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of Christ, who draws us together, who puts us together, who forms us into one complete body. We were all baptized by the one Spirit into one body, regardless of our background, Jew or Greek, slave or free, and given one Spirit to drink. Now, this one part, or this one body with many parts, also means that every part belongs. Every part belongs. We belong not only to the body of Christ, but at the same time, we belong one to another. And in verse 15, we have Paul saying, it's rather silly to think of it any other way. He says, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it's not for that reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it's not for that reason any less a part of the body. Okay? Now, in other words, we don't get to resign our part. Your little finger doesn't get to resign from the body. Your ear doesn't get to resign from the body. Now, we sometimes suffer the damaging loss of parts and pieces. God keeps us going. He will restore us to activity. But the thing is, we each belong to the body because every part is needed for the completeness of the body. And we are all baptized into this one body of Christ, this body of Christ which was complete, and It is designed by God. Now, every part is needed. Think of this. Paul almost goes to the silly, as he says in verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And we start to see, you know, some of the drawings of monster cartoons and things, if you think it in your head that way. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? We need all the bodies functioning together because without that, we do not have a complete body. Every part belongs, every part is needed. And we also have to remember that in the body of Christ, the body of Christ is a complex body. It's not simple, which means that living together as the body of Christ is not always simple as well. Our differences, our different approaches, our different ways of thinking. But the really important thing has to do with whether or not we are filling in the design and the direction that God wants. Because as the body of Christ, we are made complete by what God does in us and for us, but we only become whole when we recognize the complexity of the body is according to God's good design. So the body of Christ is a complete body, and the body of Christ is a complex body. And so we find in verse 18 to 20 of 1 Corinthians 12, as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. Why was Paul saying this stuff? Well, it's because there were way too many people that wanted to be the tongue, wanted to do the speaking, wanted to share their side of the story, perhaps. There were way too many people who wanted to be sharing a prophecy gift, perhaps. Way too many people that wanted to speak of themselves in a particular way without recognizing that the body of Christ is complex. It's not designed to be all one part. It's not to be designed to be all an ear or all an eye or all a big toe. The body needs every part of the body. It's a complex body. But you know what? If I have a hangnail, it's hard to walk. If I have a bad knee, it's hard to stand. If I have a bad throat, it's hard to talk. If I have a bad heart, it's hard to walk uphill. If, you know, whatever it is, if it's not doing its job, if it's not fulfilling the role in the complex body, the rest of the body doesn't work right. And in fact, if we try to live as a body disconnected from our head, which is Christ, then what happens when the head's disconnected from the body? We call that paralysis. Nothing moves. Nothing works. And life is short. We need our connection to Christ the head. We need every ligament, as Ephesians chapter 4 said that I shared last week, every ligament and every tendon holding us together, binding us together, holding us as one. We need every part, and we need to recognize every other part is valuable. And so that's why in 1 Corinthians 12, 21 and 22, we read this. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that are weaker are indispensable. Most of you don't even know you have a pancreas. Don't even know you have a gallbladder. Don't even know you have a pituitary gland. Well, you might have read that stuff in science, but have you ever experienced one of those malfunctioning through cancer or through disease or infection? You can't work without all the parts working well. And it doesn't matter whether you see it or whether you think it's important or whether you don't. Most of you don't realize that there's an appendix until it decides to go rogue on you and has to be removed so that you might live. See, those parts that are weaker are indispensable. And Paul goes on to say that even the hidden parts are to be honored parts. Even the hidden parts are to be honored parts. And we read it in 1 Corinthians 12:23 and 24. It says, and those parts of the body that we consider less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor. And our unrespectable parts are treated with greater respect, which our respectable parts don't need. Well, this is one reason we wear clothes at all, isn't it? It's also a reason that we are careful about how we handle certain parts of our bodies that remain private rather than public. But there's other things that are going on inside we never see. There's other workings that God is doing inside we never see. There's other helps and strength that we never understand. We don't even know that we can suffer from stenosis in our spine until we suffer from that. You know, we never know what's important until it's missing or broken. And even those hidden parts carry such very important roles for us. We need to respect and honor and enjoy all the parts of our body and care for all the parts of our body through diet, through exercise, through planning. All of those things are important. I mean, we have to first start with water and food, just basic nourishment, but then we need to add in everything else if our bodies are to be strong and healthy and live as long as God designed us to live. We need to care for our own bodies just as we need to care for the body of Christ, because it is God who builds the body of Christ. It is God who builds the body of Christ, not us. We're not put together by our own blueprint. We're put together by God's blueprint as God builds the body of Christ. We read about that in the second half of verse 24 on to 25. It says, instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. God builds the body. It's God's blueprint. It's His design. And He's the one who knows that those things that we protect, those things we cover, those things that are private, not public, in our bodies are so important to how our bodies work and how we work together as the body of Christ, how we work together as the humanity that God has designed. But most especially, Paul is talking about how God, with the example of our physical bodies, has built the body of the church. And it says here, you notice in verse 25, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. That means that division comes not from God's design, but from ourself. Division comes from our selfness, not our spiritness, not the design of God, but our desire to be something other than God's design. God put us together so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other, that we would care for one another as members of the body of Christ. We would care for one another so that the whole body of Christ is functioning. We would care for one another so that the head, Christ, would have every part working in His body as we move along into the world that we are placed in as a representative of Jesus Christ, sharing who He is. And when there is division in the church, it comes from selfness, not spirit-ledness. And division, we see, is a breakdown of love. Oh, I hear people say, oh, but I'm just trying to grow the church. That's why I'm doing this, and I'm pushing somebody else aside. I'll step in where they are. Now, sometimes we need to take the Spirit-led role, but we have to be careful that we are Spirit-led as we do that, so that we love each other in the process of loving the church, the body of Christ, in the process of being a functioning part of the body of Christ, so that we would not be part of that breakdown of love. Verse 25 is said, we just read it, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same concern for each other. And that means that love cares for the members of the body. And verse 26, so if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Have you ever had a massage that just made you feel so good? You know, muscles were tight and things were sore. They were cramping here and everything else. And you are given this gift of being able to be cared for, your body physically cared for in a special way, in such a way that your body, the rest of your body, just rejoices in what happened. I feel so much better now, you might say, or, oh boy, did that take the stress out, or whatever it is. You know, we rejoice when there's special honor given to parts of our body. In the body of Christ, have you learned how to do that? Rejoicing when somebody gets ahead, steps forward, is called on. You know what? I'm a stubborn old fool and a selfish old fool. And sometimes I get jealous of how others are serving or what others are called to do. Until I put myself before the Lord and He said, Dave, I didn't give that job to you, remember? You're not that part. You're this part. You give them the freedom and the support and the encouragement to be that part of my body. And so I have to learn that just like any of the rest of us do. And that means y'all and you are all part of the body of Christ. Now, I use that word y'all when I'm talking about the plural you, because in the English language, we use you for single and plural, and we can't tell the difference when we're just reading through. But here, in this next passage, it speaks of both you all and you. And in verse 27, 1 Corinthians 12, now you are, that's you all, y'all are the body of Christ. And you, individual members of it. Y'all and you, both part of the body of Christ. All together and yet individually. See, my fingers don't lose their identity as fingers because they're attached to my arms. They're still fingers. Individuals don't lose their identity of who God has caused them and made them and designed them to be because they join into the body of Christ. No, what happens is we start to fit and we find our place and we look for our place and we try to live out our place. And that means all of you and each of you at the same time are God's gifts to the church. And as you are God's gift to the church, God gifts you. He gives you gifts, what you need. 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, next miracles, and gifts of healing, gifts of helping, gifts of leading, and various kinds of tongues. You know what? Some people get stuck on these phrases. I don't know, anybody have a number for how many body parts there are? I know Laura knows how many muscles there are, how many bones there are, but I have no idea how many body parts there are because they have different name for different layers of our skin. There's different name for different vessels that carry our blood. There's different name for different tissues in our bodies. And the barriers between muscles and skin and bone and the ties and everything else, I have no idea how many parts there are to the body. And just as we have no idea how many parts there are to the body of Christ, but each of you and all of you at the same time are gifts to the body of Christ. And God has appointed that. Don't get stuck on things you don't have. Instead, be who God has made you to be, because sometimes when God has given his gifts, these appointed gifts are important, but sometimes God says, you know, the answer to you is no. 1 Corinthians 12:29 to 30. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all do miracles, do all have gifts of hearing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret? The answer is no. And the end of all of this is really, where is your heart? Because in verse 31, it ends with desire the greater gifts. And I want you to know that the greater gifts are the gifts God has for you alone, for the good of God's church. That's the greater gifts. Desire the greater gifts. It means the greatest gift that God wants you to be to all the rest of the church. It doesn't mean take from the list and look for the one on the top of the list. It doesn't mean take from that list and say, if my gift isn't on that list, somehow I'm not important. No, as God calls you to desire the greater gifts, you need to know that the greater gifts are the gifts that God has designed for you alone for the good of God's church. Those are the gifts to put into operation. Those are the gifts to work out. It might be cleaning a carpet or cleaning a toilet. It might be polishing a mirror, or it might be sharing the word. It might be as an evangelist, but it also might be as a helper. It might be one of those caregivers that Mary had us pray for earlier. It might be one of those who is paralyzed because of physical differences, but still has a voice of prayer in their mind and can be what God has for them to do for the church right now. That's where your heart should be. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much. Thank you for designing for us a special gift of your grace. Help us to live in and through and live out those gifts you've given us, that you be honored, that you be glorified, and that the body of Christ would not limp, but run gladly, boldly into its future. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.